subdivision.
Thank you. My name's Nikki Almanadit. I'm so nervous sitting up here, and the thought of having a microphone in front of me all day has just terrorised me. I'd like to say that I was at home and I weren't thinking about it, but I was thinking all day, maybe what should I say? Will I say this? Will I say that? So I need to just put it out there that I'm really anxious. I'll tell some people have heard my story in here before already. I started using heroin when I was 13, and I started smoking. It was freebasing then when I was 15. And so basically, my using was never really that glamorous from the off. It was, you know, quite heavy from the off. Sometimes I hear people in meetings and they say they went through the rave scene and they've done this. And sometimes I can be a bit envious of that I missed all of that, because when rave scenes was going on and stuff like that, I was smoking crack and taking heroin. The first time that I ever wanted to stop using was when I was 17 and I had a daughter, and she was born addicted to heroin. And that was the first time when I looked at her and I thought, I see her withdrawing, and she was in the special care unit, and that was the first time that I thought, I've had enough, I don't want to use no more. And then 2 days later, I was on the phone, can you get me some gear up the hospital? And my using was carried on from there. When she was about 4, she got taken off me because she was found in houses where police had raided it, and there was, you know, needles and everything like that. And so I decided to go and get help, and I went to a 12-step rehab, and I stayed there for 4 months. But all the time that I was there, I was thinking, I'm 21, never using again, or not drinking even, you know, but I thought I'd give it a go, and because I wanted to get my daughter back. But I didn't actually get her back. I'd stayed clean, but the courts decided that because of the history with me, she was better to go with her dad. And at the time, that was a great excuse for me to pick up and start using again. And you know, poor me, I've lost my daughter, what would you do? And so I started using again. And out of all that time, I was around the meetings for about a year then, and out of all that time, there was one person at a meeting that said to me, like, how old are you? And I was like, oh, 21. And he was like, you've got loads of using left in you. And out of everything that I heard in the meetings, that was the one thing that I held on to, and I thought, yeah, he's right, I have. I've got lots of reason. So I went back out there using. And there was times, when, I might have earned a bit of money at the airport, and, you know, there was like a few occasions when, I had a bit of money around me, but most of the time my using was not fun. And towards the end of my using, this time, you know, my routine was I'd wake up in the morning, go to the chemist, pick up my 100ml methadone, go next door, get a few cans of K, walk across the park where I could get a free bus over to the London Eye or somewhere, nick a few handbags, and then go home and use. And my daughter came back to live with me when she was 16, just before her 16th birthday. And she started self-harming. And I remember when her friend told me that she was self-harming, you know, my initial thought was, oh, for God's sake, I was going to swear then, I'm so glad I didn't. But my initial thought was, oh, why is she making a drama? She's just trying to get attention. Not one part of me thought, Nick, your daughter is self-harming, you know. And it was all about me. I couldn't see the impact that I was having on anyone around me. My mum was in recovery. My mum's been in recovery now 19 years. And, she used to say to me about the damage, and, you know, she was always there for me, but she used to say to me, when you want to do something about it, I'll support you. Until then, I'm not enabling you. And So what happened was I'd been at work one day, thieving. Work, that sounds really good, didn't it? Been at work. Actually, I'd been out nicking handbags. And I was just on my way back to school. And I live at the top of the hill, and my dealer lived halfway up the hill. And my daughter phoned me, and she said to me, "Mum, I've just took an overdose." And I was like, "What have you taken?" She's like, "Mum, I've took 35 paracetamol." And so what I'd done, because I'd already phoned my dealer, what I'd done is I said to her, "Go downstairs, I'll phone an ambulance." And my head thought, there's no way I can go up the hospital without my gear. I'm going to be up there for hours. So I put the phone down and... I phoned the dealer and I said, "Look, you've got to hurry up, blah, blah, blah." I phoned the ambulance and then what I'd done, I saw the ambulance coming down the hill that had my daughter in it, and I hid because the dealer hadn't come. That's the reality of my using, of what happens to me when I pick up. And when I went up the hospital and I see my daughter there, and she was so skinny, and previous to that she'd stabbed herself in the stomach, and I just kind of see it, and the reality just hit me, and I just thought I need help, I need to go and get help. And I decided to go into rehab. First of all, I had to complete a day program to show that I was willing. And the only way that I ever knew that people could stop using was through this program. And I was so desperate this time. I hated who I was. I didn't feel worth nothing. I never felt good enough. I didn't know how to love my daughter. I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't know, my life was just a nightmare. And when I was in rehab, my daughter came up to see me. We had a family session. And the counsellor, she found out she was pregnant when I was in there. And the counsellor said to her, "How can your mum support you?" And she said, "Just for her to have her eyes open when I talk to her. Or just for her to answer her phone would be great." And that hit me when she said that, and seeing her. And she said, "I'll know how to be a good mum because I'll just do the complete opposite of what you've done." And I was so determined this time that I needed to look at all that stuff. I needed to be faced with the reality of where using took me. All the denial was smashed out of me. Like, I'm better than them because I don't nick meat out of Sainsbury's, or, I'm better than them because I smoke and they fix, or I'm better than them because they fix and I smoke. No way. Just, so this time around, doing this tonight, facing my fear, I've had to do that in recovery. And it hasn't been easy for me to actually look at myself. But I've got to a point where I forgive myself for how I was. I know that if I wasn't taking drugs, I wouldn't have done them things. I love my daughter. I love my family. Today, I'm the only person that my daughter will leave my grandson with. I'm the only one that, as if overnight, she won't leave him with anyone else. My eyes are always open when my daughter talks to me today. I've done training. I do voluntary work at the programme that I started my journey on. I do service. And today, I can honestly say that, I do my best. I don't always get it right, but I do my best. And it's really one thing that I have learnt to do in recovery is, be a bit accepting of who I am, that sometimes I don't get it right. And sometimes I need to, what I do at times is I hear the way I talk to myself, and I can really give myself a hard time a lot of the time. "Oh, you're not this, you're not that." And I actually have to say, "Actually, today you're all right." I haven't got no money. My house, I call it crack house chic. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what it looks like. You know, but I've got so much in my life today, and it's all thanks to this program. I've got a sponsor. I don't work the steps as fast as I should or could, but you know, I don't wake up in the morning and wish I hadn't woke up today. So I hope that someone has got something out of my chair tonight, and I'm really glad that I pushed through it and come and done it. So thanks.